It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
I'm certainly not the only person who's been dwelling on life transitions lately. During several weeks of psychological tumult, the entire country, if not the world, was focused on the ability of one man to accept that the time had come for him to surrender control and let a younger generation steer the ship of state. Change, no matter how necessary, is not easy. While focused mentally on the drama of Joe Biden's transition, I've been preoccupied here on the farm with transitions of our own. In the 10th week of their lives, the turkeys suddenly grew up. They graduated from super high protein starter feed to slightly less high protein grower feed. The same day the feed changed, I released them from barn confinement to the risks and joys of the larger world. In the second week of their lives, this year's cohort of baby chicks were also ready to graduate, in their case from the steady 90 degrees of a heat lamp to the lower intensity warmth of a mother plate, under which they can huddle for warmth as needed until they're fully feathered out. You might think of these transitions as a simple matter. Just slide open the doors of the turkey room one morning, or switch off a light, and switch on a motherboard for the chicks. Would that that were so. I wasn't quite sure the turkeys were big enough to avoid attacks by the hawk, who has made the peak of the barn roof its eyrie lately, raucously shrieking from there as it surveys the surrounding fields for prey. That meant I spent a full morning erecting temporary barriers to keep the turkeys closely confined at first to an area near the barn, where they could run to safety if threatened. To my relief, that strategy worked. After cautiously venturing out, they largely stayed under the apple tree just outside the barn. And when the hawk vocalized nearby for the first couple of days, they ran back into their room and huddled in the corner. Instincts prevailed. After a few days, though, it became clear that the turkeys were not threatened. They gained the confidence to roam more widely, and I the confidence to let them do so. Now, from the garden, I can hear the happy chorus of cooing clucks when they graze new ground. The chickens were even more complicated. I was a bit taken aback a few weeks ago when 43 of them arrived by mail. I normally order 20 a year and thought I had done so this year. But apparently I had clicked Add to Cart twice on the hatchery website without realizing it, and the hatchery, as it often does, threw in a few extra chicks. I'd put all 43 into the brooder box I had prepared for 20. They were tiny enough on arrival to fit comfortably, but they quickly double in size. I could have divided them into a second brooder box, but decided that that solution would only last a couple of weeks as well, and it would be wiser to configure a larger area where they could grow until their time of release. A sort of indoor pen was required. Where is Macho Matt when you need him? Off hiking in the Alps, it turns out. I'm a lousy carpenter and even worse architect. I decided my best bet was to adapt components of the outside chicken tractors in which we used to raise meat chickens on pasture. But on examination, I realized they were too large, too securely built, and too overgrown with vines to be easily deconstructed and reconfigured. Like a good farmer should, I improvised. I cast about and found some old wire-top tables that could be turned on their sides for two walls of the pen, affixed to the wall of the coop as a back wall. I used a cage with one panel removed to provide a front wall and door. I encased all in protective netting and chicken wire. It took an entire weekend of fiddling, but the jerry-built structure is functioning, and on Sunday Eric and I moved the chicks in there. Each of these projects, of course, diverted me from my main race against time, the vegetable garden. I'm pretty satisfied with where I've gotten the garden this year. It does not look quite like the one I fantasized, but it's reasonably orderly and critter-proofed. In the last week, I've harvested the first tomatoes, cucumbers, and okra. My efforts to encourage purslane proliferation have paid off, and I found a ready restaurant market for the weed. Yet the garden, too, is at a transition point. The end of July marks a kind of midway point in the summer, when it's time to start planting the collard greens, escarole, spinach, and other staples of the fall. Yet I'm constantly running out of time. Every chicken pen constructed is several garden beds not prepared. Every hour spent picking the massive blackberry harvest is a packet of seeds not planted. Every pound of purslane painstakingly bagged is a couple of wheelbarrows less of compost hauled to the tomato plants. Thank God Eric loves picking and processing fruits and mowing lawns, or I would be dead. Sometimes I wonder if I'm feeling time-pressured because I'm just slower and less energetic than I used to be. Or would this juggling daunt a younger man, too? Will I be any less stubborn than President Joe when the reality of my limitations becomes undeniable? He had a whole country chiming in to tell him when his transition time had come. The farm is my im à l'amour. Who will dare tell me? I'm counting on Eric.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.